Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on food irradiation when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. Swinton, while speaking to the New York Press Club, made this observation back in 1880. He said, "There's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. You know it and I know it. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things. And any of you who would be so foolish as to write honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of journalists is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes." Well, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of this Global 2000 program and the New World Order. They're the men and families like the Windsors, the Rockefellers, the Bushes, Bundys, Carnegies, and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and the New World Order, why don't you call and order my free 4-hour compact disc package? Remember, it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, why don't you go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request. That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Well, have you ever heard of irradiated food? Nuked food, they call it. We're going to nuke your food. Well, all of the food, I should say all of the fresh pineapples or fresh foods that come out of the Hawaiian Islands have been irradiated. It's been a policy that's been in place now for about 10 years. Much of the food in America today is irradiated, such as your poultry or your hamburger. Did you know that? Are you concerned about it? Do you even care? Have you ever heard about it? And what are the pros and cons? We've heard about genetically modified food. Well, irradiated food is not genetically modified per se. It could be, but it isn't necessarily. But irradiated food is another health hazard in addition to genetically modified, in addition to hybridized, in addition to pasteurized, in addition to the chemicals and the pesticides and the additives that are put into your food that are causing you to get sick. It causes cancer and heart attack and rheumatism and a whole host and plethora of degenerative diseases that we have exchanged willingly because we were so fearful and we were so concerned about contagious diseases like typhoid fever, you know, that came from Typhoid Mary, or tuberculosis, TB, they used to call it. Those infectious diseases now are pretty much passe here in the United States. We don't hear much about those, but we hear a lot about heart attack and stroke and cancer and muscular dystrophy and Parkinson's disease and so on. What causes those diseases? Well, let's take a look at this thing of frequently asked questions about food irradiation. Just what is food irradiation anyway? Well, bombardment of a food by ionizing radiation, gamma rays from nuclear material, X-rays or high-speed electrons from electronic guns. They're used to kill bacteria in the food, and electrons are knocked off molecules, and they ricochet around in the food. They break up cell walls, they slice and dice chromosomes, they kill enzymes, and they create free radicals. A free radical is an oxygen atom missing an electron. These free radicals recombine to form stable compounds or continue their destructive path. Some of the compounds created are known to be cancer-causing. Some of these are formaldehyde, benzene, and lipid peroxides. Others have never been seen or studied before, and these new compounds are called unique radiolytic products, URPs, unique radiolytic products, and scientists have not studied the long-term effects on humans of a diet of irradiated foods containing various amounts of URPs. Therefore, we cannot say that URPs have no health effects or that a diet of irradiated food is safe. We simply don't know. Food irradiation is not the same as microwaving. Gamma rays, X-rays, and electron beams carry more energy than microwaves, and they also affect the food differently. Microwaves heat the food, but irradiation does not. Irradiated food does not become radioactive unless there is equipment error or human error. Very tiny amounts of radioactivity can be created by electron beam irradiation. They decay rapidly, but they may cause problems if irradiated foods that have not been stored are eaten regularly. And for this reason, the government of India decided not to allow irradiation of wheat, a major food in many people's diets. Now, the doses permitted by the Food and Drug Administration for food irradiation vary by the food that's being irradiated. For fruits and vegetables, a maximum dose of 100,000 rads. For poultry, 450,000 rads. And for red meat, 700,000 rads. For spices, 3 million. For spices, 3 million. Now, comparisons to medical x-rays vary, but even the 1 kilogray dose is equivalent to millions of chest x-rays. One comparison provided by Samuel Epstein, he's a medical doctor, is 150 million x-rays equal the 4.5 kilogray dose. All right, now, let me run over these kilograys for you. The doses permitted by the FDA for food irradiation vary by the food. So for fruits and vegetables, a maximum dose of 100,000 rads, that's 1 kilogray. For poultry, it's 450,000 rads, that's 4.5 kilograys. For red meat, that's 700,000 rads, or 7 kilograys. For spices, 3 million rads, that's 30 kilograys. Now, when you use that to compare to medical x-rays, they vary. But even the 1 kilogray dose is equivalent to 1 million chest x-rays. 1 million chest x-rays. That's just 100,000 rads. Now, that's what we're going to do to your meat, and then you're going to eat it. Now, of course, the question arises, well, what does it do to the meat? What does it do to you after you eat it? Is there any ill effects that come from it? Well, the Codex Alimentarius, the international body that sets standards for world trade in food, is currently considering an increase in the allowable dose for irradiated foods. The Codex would permit any dose to be used on foods. In other words, the only limit would be the changes to the food's taste, texture, storage characteristics, not the health effects of irradiated food. And the Codex Committee is stacked with representatives of industry. So if the Codex approves this proposal, it will put tremendous pressure on all countries that have approved irradiation for some foods to accept irradiated imports regardless of the dose, and to increase the permitted doses of irradiation on foods for domestic consumption. The Codex has postponed a decision on this proposal until spring of 2003, long past. The Codex proposal appears to be modeled after Brazil's irradiation policy, which allows any dose for any food. The only limit is cosmetic and taste damage to the food. Brazil is a big exporter of both meat and produce, and it would benefit from the Codex proposal. At present, Brazil has to limit its irradiation doses to the doses permitted in the various countries that it exports to. So, what is the status of food irradiation in the United States and abroad? Well, food irradiation is permitted in more than 40 countries. In the United States, it is approved for beef, pork, poultry, shelled eggs, fruits, vegetables, imported fruits and vegetables, wheat, wheat flour, seeds for sprouting, herbs and spices. Now, in August of 1999, a food industry coalition asked the FDA to also approve irradiation for deli meats, frozen foods, prepared fresh dishes, fruit juices, seeds and sprouts, but this has not yet been approved, and the FDA is considering a petition to irradiate crustaceans and mollusks. Foods not yet requested for irradiation are dairy, which is already pasteurized, and a few foods like honey and coffee. Bacon was approved for irradiation in 1963. The approval was taken away in 1968 because animals that were fed irradiated bacon showed adverse health effects. In the United States, small amounts of irradiated meat fruit and vegetables have been test marketed in the last 15 years. Some spices, supplement ingredients, garlic and herb teas are irradiated. Nobody knows the total. Some guesses are 5 to 15% of spices are irradiated. Since 2000, companies that produce over 75% of the United States' 9 billion pounds a year of ground beef and approximately 50% of the nearly 35 billion pounds a year of poultry have signed agreements to use irradiation, and some have started irradiating, and irradiated ground beef is now available in about 10 supermarket chains nationwide. Some Hawaiian papayas are irradiated, and some fruits and vegetables from Florida, and it's likely that other fruits and vegetables in the United States are in fact irradiated, but OCA doesn't have confirmation, so check the labels on the fruits or on the boxes. Now, how are foods affected by this irradiation process? Well, some vitamins like vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E and K, and some B complex vitamins are severely damaged, from 5% up to 80% depending upon how long the food is stored. Some of these vitamins are natural antioxidants, that is, they destroy dangerous free radicals in your body. Irradiation, both A, an increase the amount of free radicals in food, and B, it damages the vitamins necessary to neutralize these free radicals. Free radicals are implicated in many diseases. Over 95% of bacteria in the food are killed, both bad bacteria like E. coli and good bacteria like those with telltale odors that indicate spoilage. Viruses like the Norwalk virus in shellfish and the bacteria that causes botulism are not killed by irradiation. Irradiated raw foods that are purchased to be eaten raw are the most damaged because they have the nutrition of cooked food and the appearance of fresh food. In addition to creating more free radicals, irradiation deactivates the enzymes in fresh foods that are vital for optimal digestion and metabolism. The bacteria-killing enzyme depleted in vitamin depletion effects of irradiation are similar to cooking. Irradiated cooked fish or irradiated cooked fresh foods have even fewer nutrients than non-irradiated cooked foods or cooked fish. Irradiation will not reduce the use of chemicals on food. It is applied after harvest. So the effect of irradiation on complex chemicals such as pesticides in the food has not been studied. Aflatoxin, the highly carcinogenic substance produced by molds, is produced in greater quantities in irradiated food because the bacteria that crowded out have been killed. Irradiation affects different foods in different ways. Some foods develop off flavors, or their mushy textures, or become more susceptible to molds and fungus. When potatoes sprout, they develop a green color, which indicates the presence of the poisonous chemical solanine. When irradiated potatoes sprout, they do not turn green even when solanine is present. The bacteria that causes botulism is not killed by irradiation, but its natural enemies are. Food may be contaminated without any warning smell. This can be a very big problem for meat that is irradiated in a sealed package. Irradiated food can be stored for long periods of time. However, this benefits the packers, the exporters, and the retailers more than it does the consumers. Now, how often are people affected by eating these irradiated foods? Well, we don't know. There have been no long-term human studies and almost no studies at all performed on children. The Food and Drug Administration based its approval of irradiation to treat meat products on only 7 animal studies out of 44. These studies submitted, and these 7 either showed health effects or had obvious scientific flaws, like using a dose of radiation much lower than the FDA's permitted maximum, in effect. The fact is that animal studies have shown many health effects, such as tumors, kidney failure, death of offspring, and miscarriages. Irradiation for fruits and vegetables was based on a theoretical calculation of the danger of the new chemicals that were created during World War II. They have not been predicated upon animal studies. We do know that irradiation can damage vitamin A, vitamin C, E, K, vitamin B1, B2, B3, and B6, and folic acid by up to 80%, depending upon the vitamin and how long the foods have been stored. Now, people who rely on fresh foods for their vitamins may suffer vitamin deficiency, and it is very ironic that the vitamins
that are destroyed are those needed to fight the extra free radicals that are created by the radiation in the first place. Now, people who eat irradiated foods will be eating them in large quantities for a long period of time, possibly for the rest of your life. Especially if the Food and Drug Administration stops requiring labels, scientists have no idea what results this will have on human health. Now, some foods may be irradiated twice. For example, fresh imported mangoes in a packaged fruit salad that is also irradiated. You see, no studies exist on the effects of these double-dose foods on human health. The existing science on the safety of food irradiation is totally inadequate for the Food and Drug Administration to unleash this technology on the public. The FDA should require labels on the food so that people can avoid irradiated foods if they so desire, and so that the public health office officials can determine if people who ate these foods and people who avoided them have different health problems. So without labels, epidemiologists will never be able to determine the health effects of irradiated foods in your diet. Now, irradiation from electron beams, X-rays, and gamma rays damage the food in very similar ways, and they pose the same risks for human health, and the dose is what is important, not the source of the radiation. For example, nuclear irradiation uses radioactive cobalt-60 or cesium-137, which can release radioactivity in transport or plant accidents. In some cases, the nuclear materials can be owned by private companies rather than the government, and safe disposal of all of this material is unlikely. Several accidents have occurred in the United States nuclear irradiators in the 1970s and early 80s. And despite the United States regulatory system, both nuclear and E-beam irradiation can cause serious injuries to workers in these facilities. At high speeds, E-beam irradiation can create tiny amounts of radioactivity in the food, which might be a health problem if irradiated foods are eaten in large quantities over long periods. Now, even if E-beam irradiation is widely used, nuclear materials will also be used. And this will happen for five reasons. First, electron beam irradiation must be used on small, evenly shaped foods because it does not penetrate deeply. Large or irregularly shaped items, like a whole chicken, must be irradiated using X-rays or nuclear materials. Now, the source of the irradiation is not disclosed on the food label, if a label is even required. So the nuclear industry, number three, still wants to get rid of the cesium-137 from nuclear power stations, and the Canadian and U.S. nuclear industry want customers who need cobalt-60 to be manufactured from cobalt-59. Food irradiation provides private sector income for a nuclear facility that is primarily used for research on nuclear power or nuclear weapons. And five, other countries that do not have cheap and reliable sources of electricity will use nuclear material to irradiate foods. Now, why is irradiation used on food at all? What's the purpose behind it? Well, the main purpose is to kill bacteria that cause food poisoning and spoilage. In other words, it's used primarily to protect food companies against expensive lawsuits if someone gets sick from an undercooked hamburger and the ensuing product recalls. And for some products, to increase the time that the food can be sold. That is called the shelf life. Now, these sound like worthy goals until you ask, what's causing the problem and are there other solutions? So just what is it that causes the problem? Well, there's a variety of reasons. And you can see Nichols Fox's book, Spoiled. For example, more food prepared away from home by uneducated food handlers, more imported foods from countries with lower sanitation standards, mass production, and mass slaughter techniques that allow cross-infections. So the big problem, the one that galvanized the food industry to demand irradiation from Congress, is fecal contamination of meat and poultry that in turn leads to food poisoning. And then the food industry has been pushing irradiation to save the image of meat products after numerous public releases of E. coli in ground meat. Salmonella has appeared in chickens. And Listeria in refrigerated deli meats. Now, even irradiation advocates say that irradiation does not create a sterile pocket, and they recommend that all existing food safety procedures be observed anyway. Now, are there other solutions other than irradiation? Well, many alternative technologies are in use and being tested, and many small changes can make a difference, because food safety can be affected anywhere from farm to table. However, the single most important change would be to remove the meat and poultry inspection functions from the USDA, because the USDA management is too closely tied to the meatpacking industry. Number 7, who supports and who opposes food irradiation? Who's for it and who's against it? Well, the public health official's job is to improve the public health statistics. Now, public health advocates of irradiation are not looking at the potential long-term health consequences and the environmental and political ramifications of the centralized food production systems that we have now for meat and poultry. They do not look at the way irradiation of fruits and vegetables will greatly centralize ownership and increase imports. Food industry producers and marketers who support irradiation want to sell food and avoid lawsuits now. They are not looking at the long-term consequences. So the Department of Defense wants to get rid of some of its nuclear wastes by selling them to private business, and they're not looking at the long-term consequences of their actions. Grassroots opponents are supported by a growing number of scientists, doctors, and epidemiologists who advocate precaution. Is there a safer way to accomplish the same goal? Many alternatives for irradiation exist. See our pages on alternatives to irradiation. Our coalition wants the Food and Drug Administration to require permanent and non-misleading labels of irradiated food. We think irradiation has not been proven safe, and we don't like the political environmental results on our food system. So unlike irradiation advocates, almost none of us are paid to advocate our point of view. Well, hang on here, boys and girls. I've got to give you a mid-course correction here and advise you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives and can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. And the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. And finally, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, tonight we're taking a look at irradiated foods. The first article tonight comes from the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. And on the face of it, they're asking questions like frequently asked questions about food irradiation. It's rather a pro-industry stance, telling us that, hey, listen, there's no problems here, and we're giving you the facts, and we're telling you that it's a good idea, and it's a good program for you. 40 countries in the world have irradiated foods, and these countries trade with one another, so you can expect that when you get beef from Brazil, that it will be irradiated. Now, is that what you want to buy? And if it isn't what you want to buy, is there an alternative? And are there any side effects, any health consequences that perhaps we should be concerned about? Now, I'm concerned about it, and that's why I'm bringing it to your attention. It bothers me. That's why I don't eat out very often. And when I do eat out, I'm very careful about where I eat and what I eat. And I remember one time I walked into the consumer's market down in Mountain Home, and I was over in the produce section. I wanted to buy a pineapple. Knowing that the pineapple that comes out of Hawaii is irradiated, these pineapples didn't have a country of origin on them. And I asked the guy, I said, are these pineapples irradiated? And he said, those pineapples are FDA approved. Or not FDA, it was Department of Agriculture. That's what it was, the Department of Agriculture, USDA approved. And I said, well, that's fine. That's fine. What I want to know is, are they irradiated? Did they come from Hawaii? And he said, I don't know where they come from, but they're USDA approved. And I said, well, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. But son, I don't want to eat irradiated foods. And so could you tell me, did these come from Malaysia? Can you find out what the country of origin is? And he said, no, but they're USDA approved. Now that's about the third or fourth time. Like I could tell by that point in time in our conversation that this guy had been very carefully programmed by the management. If anybody asks you, you tell them that this is USDA approved, USDA approved, USDA approved. Boys and girls, if I know that something is USDA approved, I know that it's not fit for human consumption. You can just about bet on it. I'd be better off if it wasn't USDA approved. Doesn't mean that everything isn't fit for human consumption. I could eat a raw pineapple from Malaysia that hasn't been irradiated. It probably has some nutritional value. If it comes from Hawaii, it isn't fit for human consumption because I know it's been irradiated and I don't want to eat it. So I didn't buy anything out of the produce section. In fact, I didn't shop very much at consumers from that point on. And the consumers markets have disappeared here in our local area. They've been replaced now by Walmart primarily. I don't know what Walmart does. And I shop very infrequently there. And I try to stay out of supermarkets. There's not very much, if anything, that is fit for human consumption in a supermarket, but we like to go in there from time to time and buy a box of crackers or Wheat Thins or something like that. So I thought I'd share this with you so that when you go into the supermarket and you see this symbol, there's this peculiar symbol, pretty hard to describe it. It's called the Radura, the international symbol of radiation. And it's a circle, a gray circle, and it's unbroken on the bottom half. And it's got four sections in the top half. In the very center of the circle, it's all white. And it represents about two-thirds of the size of the circle, the white area. Inside the white area is a gray dot right in the center. And then there's what looks like two leaves down here at the bottom. It's a very peculiar symbol. It's called the Radura, R-A-D-U-R-A, the international symbol of irradiation. So when you see that on your foods, and you'll know that they have been irradiated. Now, that doesn't tell us that we don't want to eat it. We Americans, we love technology here in this country. If something has been technologically improved, we would want to eat it. Americans would. Now, you Europeans are opposed to GMO foods. Over here in America, we welcome them. We want them. We're excited about them. We desire GMO foods. They're new. They're cutting-edge technology, and that's what we want to buy. We're taught and trained that in public school. We don't know anything about food. We don't know anything about nutrition. That's why we're fat and overweight and we're sick as dogs and we eat at McDonald's, which tells you the whole story right there. That's why we're sick. But we love technology in this country and we're very excited about technology and we just get right into it up to our armpits and wallow in it. And this radiation is very popular over here. In fact, when asked, the numbers, I think around 87% of consumers are not opposed to irradiation. Then they go on to ask them, and there's another big proportion of them that don't know what it is. 87% are not opposed to it, but when you ask these same 87%, what is it? I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I'm not opposed to it. I guess that makes sense. If you don't know what something is, I guess there's no reason to be opposed to it. It never occurs to us that, what are you doing? Well, we're experimenting with your food. Oh, and have you done any tests on laboratory animals? No. Are you going to do any tests on laboratory animals? No. Have you done any long-range testing on humans? No. Any short-range tests on humans? No. Do you know what effect this has on humans? No. Do you know what effect this has on animals? No. So you're just experimenting, yes? Who are you experimenting on? You. We're just going to put this out in the marketplace and see what happens. That's the way we do it here in America. We just put it out in the marketplace and see what happens. And Americans don't complain about it. There's just a few right-wing, radical, reactionary, insane nuts like me that ask these kinds of crazy questions, like, can you tell me where this pineapple comes from? No, but it's USDA approved. Can you tell me if this pineapple comes from Hawaii? No, I can't, but it's USDA approved. Can you tell me if this pineapple comes from Malaysia, the Philippines, or any place else in the world? No, but it's USDA approved. Can you find out where this pineapple came from? No, but it's USDA approved. And that's just about settles everything for everybody in America. If it's USDA approved or FDA approved, if it's government approved, it must be good for you. It must be okay. Going on, they tell us, number 8, what does labeling have to do with irradiation? Well, at present, when a food has to be labeled, the words have to be treated with radiation or treated by irradiation. This labeling requirement is popular, and several FDA focus groups in 2000 told the FDA not to change it. But the irradiationists know that accurate labels mean consumers won't buy irradiated food. Therefore, they sneaked a provision into a law that passed in 2002 that opens the door for food companies to use the terms cold pasteurization and electronic pasteurization. All right, so jot that one down, boys and girls. Let's underline it. If you see on the package, it says electronic pasteurization or cold pasteurization. That means that it's been irradiated. With that accomplished, the FDA is free to change the required label words. The FDA will ask for public comments on its new proposal, which we expect will include the new terms. In the next few months, the new regulation will cover labeling of irradiated foods in the United States. Now, that's why I mentioned to you a little earlier, if there's anything in a supermarket in America that's fit for human consumption, I don't know what it is. You should be aware of it. What foods must be labeled? Well, all irradiated foods must be labeled to the first purchaser, which may be a restaurant, a school, or a manufacturer. All right, so let me put those three down here. And so if a manufacturer, that is a restaurant, if a restaurant buys 100 pounds of hamburger, then the box that it comes in has to be plainly marked it's irradiated. Now, if the restaurant cooks the hamburger, they do not have to tell you that it's irradiated. They don't have to put that on the menu where it says quarter pound hamburger and then give you a little symbol over here that says irradiated. They don't have to tell you that. If you go to public school, in fact, if you go to private school or any school, and the school buys that box of hamburger and they cook it for you, it has to be labeled so that the school authorities know what it is, but they don't have to tell you, the consumer, or the manufacturer. So if this hamburger is sold to a food services company and they take that hamburger and they turn it into, let's say, a TV dinner, they do not have to tell you that this TV dinner is irradiated. That's because they were told that it was irradiated when it came from Armor Star or Swift Meat Packers. But when they take that hamburger and put it into your TV dinner, they do not have to mark the TV dinner with irradiated. So you're eating irradiated foods, but you don't have to be told. Isn't that just real special? Now, labels available to the consumer are required only for a foods sold for their whole form. That's like a bag of oranges, a papaya, a bag of wheat flour, a package of chicken breasts, or meat and chicken that is part of another food, like chicken in a TV dinner. These consumer labels have two parts. They have a radura and a tiny statement treated with radiation or treated by irradiation. The statement can be the size of the typeface on the ingredient label and does not need to be of any special color or design. For whole fruits and vegetables, the statement should be either on the fruit or on a display nearby, but there is no enforcement and irradiated papayas are being sold without labels now. Okay, so you've got this voluntary rule. It says, we want you to put a label on your pineapple that comes from Hawaii that says irradiated, but if you don't want to, you don't have to put it on, knowing that there's a bunch of us kooks out here that wouldn't buy it if we knew that it was irradiated. Yeah, we wouldn't buy it. Now, here's how you can tell if the thing has been irradiated. You buy a pineapple at the store, you bring it home, you cut it open, and it's full of brown spots on the inside. Well, now you know that the thing has been irradiated because it's spoiling. Now, it was going to spoil anyway. And so the manufacturer says, well, they won't know if it's just natural spoilage or not. But, you know, from the time you pick this thing, this pineapple will keep 2 or 3 weeks. You don't have to do anything to it. I'm not even really sure why it is they irradiate it, but I noticed that they irradiate the strawberries from California and the pineapples from Hawaii. And then it really doesn't add any shelf life to these products, unless actually they're 6 months old and I didn't know it. Because I noticed that these products, that they spoil, and they spoil in a peculiar way. They don't spoil in the natural way, that is, you know, in a natural degeneration from enzymes. They just rot in a strange way. And after you've observed this a couple, three times, I think you'll be able to identify it also. So I thought I'd share that with you. So I'm pretty cautious and pretty careful about what I buy. I want to know, well, where did these strawberries come from? And if they come from California, that's not worth buying because all the strawberries that come out of California are irradiated. So if you can get strawberries out of Mexico, maybe, or get tomatoes out of Mexico, or get, see, those people aren't as technologically advanced as we are. And so they're, if they're technologically advanced and they get this irradiation going over here, it destroys the vitamins and minerals. I'll show you that a little bit later. Not the minerals, it destroys the vitamins. And it destroys the enzymes, and these enzymes are what you need to digest the food, and that's what happens with milk. The reason that you're lactose intolerant is because the enzyme that's in the milk that you have to digest the milk has been destroyed by the pasteurization. That's the way that game is played. But it adds shelf life to the product, so when it's put on the shelf, the milk doesn't sour, it rots. See, there's a big difference between raw milk turning sour and pasteurized milk, which doesn't turn sour, it rots. You'd have to observe it to see the difference, but I'm here to tell you that there's a distinct difference between pasteurized milk, which doesn't sour, it rots, and whole milk, which is not pasteurized when it turns sour. Large food companies and irradiation advocates want the statement removed for foods that are required to be labeled to the consumer. The Redura would remain. See our report on labeling status. We believe all irradiated food should be labeled to the consumer for these reasons. The existing scientific evidence on safety is inadequate. Therefore, people should be able to make their own decision on whether or not to buy irradiated foods. Irradiation-caused vitamin losses should be disclosed, and irradiation-sensitive labels and, God, here's a word for you. See if I can pronounce it. Thermoluminescence. Yeah, I think I got that one out. Thermoluminescence tests can be used to prove a packaged food has been irradiated. Number 9, what's wrong with the food that it has to be irradiated? Oh, that's a good question. I mean, we got along for 5,000 years without irradiated food, so what's wrong with our food today that it needs to be irradiated? Now, that's the question that the irradiation industry never confronts in public. Now, here's what the answer is. The answer is fecal contamination. It's full of shit. The answer is fecal contamination. That's what's wrong with the food. That's why we need to irradiate it, because it's dirty. Well, then why don't we produce clean food? I mean, that's a wild new concept. If you have fecal contamination, which is doo-doo for all of you people out there, you know, bad stuff number two, doo-doo, and it's on your lettuce and it's on the products that come out of the fields and so on, or it's in your hamburger, or it's in your, and it may not be human, it may be animal or some other kind. Why can't we produce milk, meat, butter, and eggs without fecal contamination? I mean, boys and girls, I have chickens, and I don't have any chicken fecal matter in my eggs, and I don't irradiate them. And I have cattle here, and I kill one every once in a while, and I butcher it out here, and it's not contaminated with fecal material. And we have a garden, and we go out here, and we're able to pick fruits and vegetables, and we can keep it clean. The reason that we have irradiation is because we have dirty food, and we don't want to clean it up. So let's just leave the dirt, the filthy feces in the hamburger. Let's irradiate the hamburger and kill the bacteria. These people can go ahead and eat the feces. That's okay. Let's make sure that they don't get E. coli or some other contagious disease from it. Now, of course, old-timers like me come along and say, well, gee, why don't we produce clean meat, milk, butter, and eggs? And let's not eat feces in our food. I'm not lying to you here. This is number 9. What's wrong with the food that has to be irradiated? The answer is fecal contamination. Food poisoning from meat and poultry is primarily caused by animal feces. Chickens are frequently contaminated with salmonella or campylobacter, which are when raised in giant confinement buildings, which is the current practice. You see, we want to raise chickens in confinement. We don't want them to run around out on the ground and eat grass and bugs and crazy stuff like that. We want to raise these birds in huge manufacturing plants where we can have 50,000 chickens in one single building over here so that we can have an economy of scale and we have savings and make more profit. That's the way we want to do it. And we don't want to change the way we raise these chickens, and the way we raise these chickens is dirty. It's a filthy cesspool, and the chickens become contaminated with the feces when we slaughter them, and we don't want to change the methodologies that we have used for thousands of years. We don't want to go back to that and produce clean chicken. So since we're going to produce dirty chicken, we've got to come up with a way to kill the bacteria that's in this dirty chicken so that it doesn't give people these diseases, because they keep suing us. So the purpose for irradiation has nothing to do with consumer protection. It has to do with the corporate protection. We don't want to be sued. And you can't blame them. And I wouldn't want to get sued either. It's true that food is never sterile, but there is a difference between dirt and feces. We expect food to be contaminated with dirt, dust, tiny stones, insect fragments. These are unavoidable and can be washed off. But we don't expect food to be produced in such a way that it is routinely contaminated with feces, salmonella, or campylobacter. Irradiation allows food producers to continue to automate slaughtering plants, replace government inspectors with industry personnel, and then clean up the contaminated products with irradiation. Read the book Slaughterhouse. The title of the book, Slaughterhouse. It's the shocking story of greed, neglect, and inhumane treatment inside the U.S. meat industry by Gail Eisnitz, E-I-S-N-I-T-Z, Gail Eisnitz, for an investigation of the places where our meat and poultry are slaughtered. Eric Schlosslers, S-C-H-L-O-S-S-E-R, apostrophe S, Schlosslers, Fast Food Nation, also has a section on slaughterhouses. Slaughterhouses. Mm-hmm. Well, the slaughterhouses are something to be seen. And what's the scientific evidence in favor of or against food irradiation? Scientific evidence in favor. Well, the scientific evidence on human health effects is inadequate to prove irradiation to be safe. In approving poultry for irradiation, the FDA uses only 7 studies of 441 studies submitted, and these are all, obviously, methodological flaws. Let's see if I can try that one again. Methodological flaws, or showed health effects in the animals. And that's what your problem is. The problem over here is that the FDA took 7 studies that were positive out of 441 studies total, and they used the 7 positive studies and ignored the other 335. So if you've got 441 studies, you got 7 positive and 334 of them, I guess, are negative. You throw out the 334 negative studies, select the 7 positive studies, and say, see, this is a good process over here. Look what we've got. Then they'll even go so far as to say, it's unanimous. Out of 7 studies, all 7 of them tell us that irradiation is good for us. No problem. All right, that's all the time I've got for today. We'll have to break it off right there. We'll be back with more on irradiated food, food irradiation, tomorrow night, right here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.